Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and we have a really special treat today. We have someone that is inspirational, motivational, just fantastic what this individual has done. Let me welcome DJ Gregory. Hi, DJ.
It's great to be here.
Oh, where did your microphone go?
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. That's better.
There we go.
So anyway, and you have someone special in studio too, Amy Froebel.
That's right.
Hi.
Oh, there we go. See, we got a hi out of her. So that was good. So anyway, DJ, let's talk about some of the things you've done. And for people that may not know, why don't you go over your story? Because it's really quite remarkable. And it really shows, I think, the power, willpower, passion, inspiration, motivation, overcoming obstacles. And people really need to learn that.
Well, I was... I have cerebral palsy. I was born 10 weeks premature. And when I was born, my lungs were not fully developed. So for the first month of my life, I was in an incubator. And sometime during that first month, the nurses tried to force a little too much oxygen into my brain, and it burst one of the capillaries in my brain that control my leg muscles. And when I was 2 years old, my parents were told by the doctors that I would never walk, that I should be on a wheelchair for the rest of my life. And my parents didn't take that for an answer. And so they consulted with doctors to find out what surgeries could be done as far as so I could have a chance to walk and stand on my own. And one of the surgeries that I had was to cut my abductor muscles. And the abductor muscles are the muscles in your legs that control your balance. And since mine were cut, I have no balance. But for the first 4 or 5 years of my life, I army crawled around the house, which is, you know, one arm over another, and then progressed to a walker with four wheels, to a walker with two wheels and two crutch tips, to two canes, and now I'm down to one cane. So I feel like I've made a pretty good steady progression, but definitely my upper body is stronger than my lower body, for sure.
You know, that's incredible. And how did you really stay focused and motivated? I mean, did you always know, hey, you're going to overcome this, you're going to walk? And describe that for us.
Well, I don't take no for an answer. I don't know if that's being determined or being stubborn. If I want something, I'm gonna get it no matter what I have to do. And I've always, you know, had that feeling and had that thought. And for my entire life, no matter anything I've done, from going to school to, you know, doing the journey with the PGA Tour in 2008 and, you know, and what has led to that after that.
So tell us, I mean, can you remember back when you first acquired these incredible skills of not taking no for an answer, this just unwavering determination? Do you remember back when that came across your mind?
Well, I mean, really, to be honest, I've never thought of it any other way, because, you know, when I was younger, my parents didn't treat me any differently than my brother or my sister. We all had our own chores to do, you know, make your own bed, you know, wash the dishes, take out the trash. And they made it that way on purpose because they wanted to make sure that I was able to, you know, still be able to live a normal life and have the normal chores as anybody else would.
You know, that's amazing. I mean, those are great skills that everyone and anyone can use. And it's really sad, and you probably see it quite often too, where people are dealt actually good hands in life and they don't take full advantage of it.
You know, that's true. And I'm the kind of person that looks at the glasses half full, not half empty. And, you know, I feel like everything happens for a reason, and you know, you just got to make the best of every situation and, you know, don't look back. Always look forward.
See, that's great advice. You know, as I told you off there, I do neuro-linguistic programming. And that's one of the things that is very important in any industry, whether it's golf that you're going to describe in a second, or business or life in general. Where do you place your focus? And if you always focus on things that you don't have or you can't do, that sort of manifests itself. But if you focus on what are the possibilities, what you want in life, that also serves you very well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've always been goal-oriented. And I think goal setting is very important because when you set goals, then, you know, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
You know, that's right. And you have something to measure and something to look forward to. It's almost a motivation in itself to have a goal to see how close and when you get there. And setting goals is critical.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you do goal setting and when you do accomplish your goals, you know, it's not always the easiest road. There's always going to be bumps in the road. And it's how you handle those tough situations that make you a better person. You know, it's not always going to be easy, but, you know, failure is just part of life. And it's how you handle those tough situations that make you a better person.
You know, that makes sense. You know, I always say there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. So if you take anything that happens in life as an information source to see how you can get better, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, in my case, you know, when I'm walking the golf course, you know, my goal each week is to make it through the week with no falls. And you know, some weeks I do make it through with no falls, and some weeks I'll fall two or three times. But when I do fall, you know, it's a learning experience. You know, try not to step in the same spot again, or, you know, just kind of more watch where you're going, more or less, than anything else.
You know, it's interesting as you said that. It's a lot of people will take walking for granted, for example. And so you have specific goals in terms of overcoming that, where you don't, one of your goals, right, not to fall. And, I bet you appreciate life so much more than a lot of people that take life for granted.
I mean, I love life. I'll be honest. I'm very fortunate with all the opportunities that I've been given throughout my life. And I know I'm very fortunate to be where I am. And as I said earlier, I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. And, you know, I look at the glass as half full, and, you know, things happen for a reason. Yes, there is a reason why I have cerebral palsy and why, you know, why I am the way I am. But I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. I want to, you know, enjoy life and, you know, hopefully at the same time be able to inspire and motivate others.
And part of enjoying life is evidently your passion for golf. Now, take us back at that moment when you first learned. Well, you're about 12 years old?
Well, yeah, I played golf since I was 9 years old. I play one-handed. Some days are better than others. And I went to my first golf tournament when I was 12, which was the 1990 Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina, where I met Ken Venturi and Jim Nance, who have been very close friends of mine for many years. And I just fell in love with it from the start. And, you know, probably back last 6 or 7 years prior to 2008, I would always go to a tournament and about 5 or 6 events a year on my own, and I would always follow a player that I know and walk the golf course with him. And you know, in 2007, I just decided, you know, what would it be like to go to every event, get to know the players on a more personal level, but at the same time, being able to accomplish the personal challenge of walking every event. And so that's kind of where it all started.
What is it about golf that you love?
I'm a sports fanatic. I love all sports. I watch ESPN all the time. I love basketball, love baseball, love football. But golf is my favorite sport because I can play it competitively if I want, although I don't do it very often. But I can if I want. My handicap is 36. I shoot anywhere from, you know, 95 to 105 when I play golf. I actually played out in the Monday Pro-Am at the Phoenix Open this week or last week. And, you know, my game wasn't real sharp, but we had a great time. And, you know, that's just part of golf. It's my favorite sport because, you know, I can play it competitively, even though I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, but you're out there, you know, giving it your best. And that's all anyone can ask for is to reach your full potential. Now, tell us about this foundation. How did you come up with this foundation, Walking for Kids Foundation? How does it tie in the golf? Tell us that story.
Well, I started this foundation was started in late 2009. So last 2010 was the first year. And the reason for starting the foundation was after I did the journey on the PGA Tour in 2008 and walked every hole of every event, and I did a blog on PGAtour.com, and ESPN did the story on me, and wrote the book Walking with Friends, an Inspirational Year on the PGA Tour. When I went back to different events to promote the book in 2009, people continue to come up to me and say, you know, thanks for inspiring me in my own lives, and keep up the good work, and you're doing a great job. And so, you know, I started to think, you know, what else can I do to continue to be involved in golf and also, you know, continue to make the difference in lives of others and inspire others. So it was my thought to, you know, start a foundation for children's charities and help kids achieve their goals and dreams, because no matter what cards kids are dealt in life, everybody has a goal and a dream, and everybody should be given the chance and opportunity to achieve those goals and dreams.
That's incredible. So you really have, I bet, a heart for children.
I do, and you know, I've been fortunate to visit a lot of different children's facilities across the country, from different United Cerebral Palsy affiliates to St. Jude Children's Hospital, and you know, I've seen kids that are, you know, wheelchair bound and need help and doing their daily activities and you know, even with speech, and my message to them is, it doesn't matter if you're confined to a wheelchair or confined to, you know, needing assistance in speech. Everybody has a dream and a goal, and everybody should be given that chance.
That is awesome, because I agree, and just you yourself providing that inspiration, that motivation, seeing what you've accomplished, that in itself will give hope to kids and adults alike.
Well, you know, I hope so, and you know, I've been, you know, very fortunate in what I've been able to do, and I have some great friends out on the PGA Tour that really support what I do, and I have some friends that I've met, you know, along the way doing this journey, and they're lifelong friends, and I just have, you know, I have the greatest support group behind me that really keeps me going, but, you know, they kind of like to stay, you know, outside the limelight, I guess.
Wow. Well, you're doing a great job. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about what happened in 2008. You mentioned it already, but one of your goals was to play walk on every tournament, over 988 miles, 3,256 holes. Tell us about that. That is just unbelievable.
It was an amazing experience. I got to visit some of the most beautiful places in the world. And I had the opportunity to meet and become friends with some of the greatest people in the world. And that's, people ask me all the time, what will I take away from what I did in 2008? And it's the friendships I have with the PGA Tour players, the staff of the PGA Tour, and people I met along the way. You know, they're lifelong friends. They weren't just friends for the week that I met them, but they're lifelong friends. And if I ever need anything, you know, they're always there for me.
And that in itself is just inspirational, to be able to accomplish that. And that is a phenomenal accomplishment. And now you're following it up with the foundation to continue helping people. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with DJ Gregory and his friend Amy Froebel. And we'll be right back to hear about some of the people he's walked with on the PGA Tour. And we'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and special in-studio guest, founder of Walking for Kids Foundation, DJ Gregory, and his public relations chairman, but either way, right, is Amy Froebel. So welcome, both of you. You stayed for the second half.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is great. So chairwoman or chairman, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, but you do all the PR for this young man, DJ Gregory.
I do. He really didn't have a choice either. I kind of just took it over and
there you go.
Ran with it.
She does a great job, so I'm not complaining at all.
See, and you didn't take no for an answer either.
I did not. I've learned from him.
this is a great team right here. This is excellent. Well, I could see you both have this passion for helping people. You have the passion for golf too, and how does that translate? Let's ask Amy this question. How does that translate your passion to help and golf help DJ? How does this help? How do you help him?
How do I help him? Oh, boy. I kind of help him out with when it comes to donations and collecting donations and setting up different media things for him. So,
like this one.
Like this one. Yeah. We've
and
met
you did
at
a
basketball
job.
Game.
Yeah. Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, at the box, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, right?
That was a lot of fun, except Boston lost, so.
Oh, you're a Boston fan.
Well, I'm from Connecticut.
Oh,
so,
there you
go. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, and then they beat the Lakers. That was weird.
Yeah.
They lose to the Suns and beat the Lakers. What's up with that?
I like the Celtics, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, they've had some great teams and great rivalry with the Lakers, actually. I'm a sort of a Laker fan still and a Suns fan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Kobe Bryant, and they're not playing too well right now, so what can you do? You know, who knows what will happen. However, DJ Gregory, let's talk about some of the people you've met on the PGA Tour. Drop some names, some people that you've walked with, and some of your most memorable experiences doing this.
I've walked the player, Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Mark Wilson, who just won yesterday at the Phoenix Open. Mark was actually the first person I walked with when I had to do a test run for the PGA Tour in 2007. He was kind of the guinea pig for the whole project, and so it was kind of good to see him win for the second time this year. Aaron Baddeley, who's a good friend of mine as well. Steve Marino. I've just been so fortunate to have so many good friends, and you know, it's hard to say, people's favorite question is, who's your favorite player? And I don't have one favorite player because, I've become so close and such good friends with so many players that it's not just one player.
Now, you've been all over the world, right?
Yes.
What is a golf course that you remember vividly, something that sticks out and maybe some experiences?
My favorite golf course in the world is a place we'll visit this weekend, Pebble Beach.
Oh, Pebble
Beach.
It
is my favorite place in the whole world, and I love going back there. And we were there twice last year, once for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am and once for the U.S. Open. So it was just awesome, and I'm very excited to go back there tomorrow night. And, Amy's going to come in for the weekend, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, how fun is that? Pebble Beach, of course, is in California. Up north, a couple hours from Santa Barbara? roughly up the coast?
It's about 50. It's about 60 miles from San Jose, and almost 2 hours from San Francisco.
Okay, there you go. 2 hours, I think, north of San Francisco.
I think it's,
It's somewhere in California.
It's
there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Now, what makes that your favorite place, your favorite golf course?
The views. It's just spectacular. Right on the water, and it's a special place. I can't really explain it other than just, you know, walking Pebble Beach Golf Links is pretty special. It's, you know, the great views. It's one of the most, you know, popular golf courses in the country. And, you know, I've been fortunate and lucky enough to play it one time, a couple of years ago. And, but it's amazing. It's just an amazing spot.
That is awesome. You know, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week ago or so, I forget now, does the name Marilyn Smith mean anything to either one of you? The co-founder of the LPGA. We had her on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Marilyn Smith. She's about in her 80s now. She sounds like she's in her 50s, though. She was very bubbly. She called in. And that was sort of cool because, you know, that's pretty neat, too. I think they're having some tournaments down here in Phoenix, the LPGA. So that's cool. So have you met any of the older golfers, the last generation? Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus?
I have met Mr. Palmer a couple times. Two years ago, I received the humanitarian award from the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association in New York, and Mr. Palmer was at the awards dinner at the same, presenting an award to his longtime assistant, and so I met him at that awards dinner, and yeah, that was pretty special. And I've met Jack Nicklaus a couple times. At the memorial, and then one other time at one of the courses he designed in North Carolina.
That is awesome. Now, what's the response you're getting from the professional golfers regarding your foundation?
The response has been unbelievable. They have really jumped on board with so much support and so much excitement. Every player that, you know, participated with the foundation last year wants to do it again this year, and you know, we're talking about some different special events with some players, and it's just been phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
So how does that work when you say participate with the foundation? Are they giving certain amounts of contributions for certain types of scores that they get, their performance?
What they do is each week I'll have a couple players. Depends on the week. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two. Even some weeks it's three players. We'll play for the foundation, and they'll donate per birdie and eagle they have for the week. And the amount they donate is completely up to each player. I don't tell them how much to donate. It's totally up to each player. And, you know, so, you know, the range in donations has been pretty special. It's been awesome.
That is phenomenal, and this is fairly new foundation, late 2009. So
it didn't start until 2010. We say late 2009 because we officially filed all the paperwork on December 28th, 2009. So, but it really didn't start until 2010. So this is the second year,
and you've got off to a great start, evidently.
Yeah, we gave away $85,000 last year, and it was something special. And you know, this year's the goal. The goal is to give away $100,000.
That is phenomenal. Now, what does the future look like 2, 3, 4 years from now? It's just going to rev up even greater.
I hope so. You know, that's the plan. And you know, even expand it to different sports and, you know, different professional leagues, and you know, see what happens. I personally, I think kind of the sky's the limit. You know, I love what I do. I also do a lot of speaking engagements across the country. So, you know, I love having the opportunity to get my story out there. And I love having the opportunity to, you know, with the foundation, to raise money for children's charities and help, you know, kids achieve their goals and dreams. I'm actually more excited about, you know, the foundation and what I'm doing with the foundation now than what I did in the original journey in 2008. I mean, it means more to me to be able to give back now than what we did to start.
That is phenomenal. Now, how can people help? I mean, let's give out some contact information. What do you need? I bet certainly contributions. How does this work?
People can go to the website. It's walkingforkids.org, O-R-G, and you'll see some information on our website about, you know, what we're doing with the foundation. And there's also a pledge form on the website that people can download and send in what their pledge is. And here in the next couple days or so, we'll have a link to PayPal where people can donate to the foundation right through PayPal.
That is excellent. And your goal, you said, for 2011 is $100,000 give away.
We
right?
want to give away $100,000, yeah.
That means you probably need to raise more than that, though.
That's correct.
I'm sure there's administrative costs and so on. So maybe the goal, what, $125,000, $150,000, $175,000 in 2011 to raise?
You know, the more the merrier. If we raise $160,000 in 2011, we'll be able to give away $100,000.
That is phenomenal. This is it's so well worth it. And of course, I think you said the first organization you gave to was First Tee of Connecticut, right? Mm-hmm. And that's for children. Describe what that is.
The First Tee of Connecticut. Well, the First Tee is a nationwide organization that is in conjunction with the PGA Tour for kids, I believe, aged 6 to 18. And it teaches life lessons and life values through the game of golf to kids. And I'm going to ask Amy if she'll tell a story about one kid that we met while visiting Connecticut just a couple weeks ago.
And you're going to have to tell it in 30 seconds or less.
Okay. We met a kid named Cameron who, like DJ, has cerebral palsy, and it was just amazing. They got to talk with each other, and, you know, we asked Cameron what was so special about DJ, and he said that he realized through DJ that he can achieve anything he wants to. And it was really touching and amazing.
You know, there's nothing more rewarding than that, right, DJ?
No, and, you know, when I have experiences like that, and we have experiences meeting kids like that, meeting people like that, you know, that's why we do what we do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, DJ Gregory, founder of Walking for Kids Foundation. Amy Froebel, thank you for joining us today. And we will keep this up to date in front of the public to help you guys. And hopefully we'll have you on again.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much. And stay tuned for Bob Berger and Reaching Your Financial Goals.
On the web at familyvaluesradio.net. This is 1010 KXXT.